know that song does it gets me every time. Part of what we're going to be studying today out of Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." And I'm going to get ahead of myself. We're going to preach the end at the beginning, okay? Because it just ties in when we start singing these songs, and every one of these songs that they led us in today talked about what he's done for us. And remembering, all my life. You may not have known he was there at the time, but as you grow in your faith, you're going, oh my gosh, there you were. That was you and my neighbor that took me to church when I was a child. That was you and that teacher. That was you. You know, we start looking back and we're going, God, there you were. And, you know, sometimes when you're facing something in life, you come in here and you're going through something, it's just all you can do to be here. And when we start worshiping him, if you will allow your soul, your mind, your will, those emotions, if you will allow your soul to move off of what you've been focused on and to bless the Lord with that soul and all that is within you, bless his holy name. That's when there's a shift in your atmosphere. No matter what's going on, that's when there's a shift in your atmosphere. And, you know, I began to look back and I thought, God, the things that you have brought me through and to, and man, how can you not just grab a box of tissues and just, but see, when we start in and praise and worship, we want to leave our soul sitting on the pew. We want to go through the physical motions of singing. Some of you might even be so bold as to put your two hands together. Some of you might get a little foot action going, on rhythm, off rhythm, whatever. But you're going through the physical motions of praise and worship, but your soul is not in it. Your soul's sitting on the pew. And do we think it's something separate? Do we think it's wrong for our soul, for us to get emotional during praise and worship? I'm not calling for emotion. What I'm asking for is that we be open enough to the healer to open up our soul and say, all of this emotion that's in me is fixing to shift paths. I've been crying over this. I felt all this emotion, all of this, all of my emotions in my soul going towards this one thing. Can I take this moment and shift it towards the one who has the answers? Yes, I can. And that may not look on worship like it looks on me. Yours may not look like mine. But if you're going to bless the Lord with all your soul, you will know when you do. Nobody else may know, but you will know when you do. So praise God for a worship team that takes us there. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Oh, I don't even. They just really preach the message. And isn't that the beauty of the Holy Spirit functioning in the body of Christ? I don't give them the songs to sing. Teachers, school workers, y'all can go up to children's church. Nathan, do you know where children's church is? See a few more teachers and school workers. If you serve in the school in any form or fashion, go up the stairs, follow the crowd to children's church. A lot of them are up there working in classes. The kids are going to pray over you this morning. They do it every year. It's powerful. I'm sorry, I forgot to dismiss y'all to do that. I know we got a lot of people out on the last weekend before it's time to hit the books. Praise God for the retired teachers in the room. Y'all have served, and I know that your hearts go out to those that are fixing to kick back up. We need to teach under the anointing of God, don't we? All right, I just titled it, I Will Not Forget. I Will Not Forget. And I love the songs that the Holy Spirit led the team to do today. We referred to something last week that I want to go back to. Remember when we mentioned the account of David? I think it was Sunday morning that we mentioned the account of David when he and his men came back into the city of Ziklag and it had been burned. And the women and the children had been taken captive. So go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 30. We're not going to read the whole account. We're going to try to stay. One thing I'm trying to learn how to do is to stay focused on, not get distracted and try to tell you everything. You know, we don't need to try to tell people everything we know about every every verse. So I'm trying to work on staying focused so we can get more out of where the Lord's wanting to take us. But 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 4, David and the men have come back. The city's been burned. And when you read this scripture, just like we talked about in worship, use your soul. I mean, yes, listen to what the Spirit's telling you, but put yourself in this story. Put yourself in this picture, because if you began to put yourself in there and you begin to think about what these guys must have felt like while they've been out at battle and they've been out doing God's business and they come back and Ziklag has been burned and their wives, their daughters, their sons have been taken captive. And all of the emotion and everything that they felt is described here in verse 4. It says, then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Some of us have been there. Some of us have been there where we wept until we had no more power to weep. I went, 7-8 years before I ever shed a tear after going through when our son died. I would feel like I needed to cry, and there was just nothing there. But I cried all the way. Ken walked up the steps this morning in laughter. I cried all through worship service. You know, because I have to do something with my soul. My soul is going to belong to something. It's going to attach to something. And so these guys are weeping. They're grieving. And verse 6 says, and David was greatly distressed. And if you'll notice in verse 4, David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice until there was no more. David was hurting. David was weeping. David was greatly distressed. And for the people spake of stoning him, verse 6, because the soul of all the people was grieved. And all the emotions that you have, or all the grief that you have, or all the things that you're dealing with, your soul is going to have an effect. It's going to come out. Somehow, some way, it's going to come out. And these people who were so grieved that they couldn't cry anymore turned on the one who was leading them, who was also grieved, and are threatening to stone him. And these are the people that David has fought with, fought for. He loves them. They were faithful to him. And now they're looking at stoning him. This is a betrayal. I mean, the emotions that must have been here. It says, for every man, for his sons, and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David came to a point that he shifted. He shifted. He shifted his own atmosphere. No one was there to encourage him. They were ready to stone him. He had lost things. He had people gone, his wives. But he encouraged himself in his God. I wonder what that looked like. I wonder what that looked like. What would, if Susan encouraged herself in the Lord her God, what do you picture? David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. What do you think he did? You can talk out loud. It's charismatic church. You sing, talk to the Lord. I can't hear what you're saying, Bridget. Danced. He did. He was known for that. He encouraged himself. I think he talked to himself. I think he did what we just did in that last song. All my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so good. Can't you just, if you're going to encourage yourself, you're going to talk to yourself. Yes, sing to yourself. Yes, dance. All of these things are going to come out of that. But if you're going to encourage yourself, church, you better be talking to yourself. And what you're talking to yourself about doesn't need to be what you're living in. It needs to be what God has done and what he's doing. And that's going to bring encouragement. I couldn't help but go back to 1 Samuel, so go with me there to 1 Samuel 17. Because David had a history of this. This wasn't the first hard thing he had faced. If you'll remember when he was younger, in 1 Samuel 17, we're just going to kick up in verse 32. Drives up to see his brothers. And Goliath is out there taunting the children of Israel, God's people, just taunting and making fun of them and harassing them and calling them out. And they're all hiding. These soldiers are all hiding. Saul's not out there to fight him either, the king, the warrior. And David said to Saul in verse 32, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." And Saul replied, "You're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a boy. And he's been a fighting man from his youth." Now, y'all, this is a person of influence. This is a person of influence saying, "You can't." In the physical, no, it didn't look possible. This is like a doctor telling you, "You can't get over this. You can't be healed from this. You're going to have to do this all your life. You're going to deal with this all your life." This is a person of influence speaking words and trying to discourage, trying to take David's courage out. We know he had courage because he said, "Don't let anybody lose heart on account of this Philistine. I'll go find him." And then here comes a person of influence trying to discourage him. But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been," very respectfully notice, "your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it. I struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it." Look, what discouragement tried to come, David is encouraging himself and the Lord, saying, "This has already happened." Right? "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and the uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." in this life, when we face tough situations, when we face grief, when we feel distress, when we weep, when we feel anger, when those times come, I will remember. I will remember. And I will talk to myself. I will speak of the things the Lord has done. If the only thing you can think of, Chip, is that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and put you back into relationship with the Father God, if that is the only thing that you can think of where you can say, God did this for me, God did that for you, and that covers anything else that we deal with. And so, remembering to talk to yourself and to encourage yourself and to not forget what he has done. And I think once we get in that mode of thankfulness and gratitude and remembering, because just me studying this, things started coming back to me. Things I don't even really think of anymore. You know why I really don't even think of them anymore? Because what was once so big that I thought my whole world would end has been put under the light of the gospel, the truth of Jesus Christ. And now it doesn't look now like it did then. So what you're going through, just know that what it looks like now, it does not have to look that way tomorrow. If we put it in the right light, it changes everything. And we have to. I love something that Jesus said in John 16. I think I put it in your notes. I'm going to read it to you out of the Amplified. He's talking to his followers, to his disciples, and he's telling them the things that are going to happen, preparing them for him to leave the earth. And he said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you will have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. But be of good cheer. That to a person out on the street, that doesn't even make sense. I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you have tribulation, trials, distress, and frustration. But be of good cheer. In parentheses, it says, take courage. I like that. Take courage. It doesn't come naturally. When things happen, we get discouraged. And here he says, you take courage. You take courage. Be confident, certain, and undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of its power to harm you, and I have conquered it for you. Does it hurt right now? Yes. Nobody's denying that what we go through, that we feel it. We just deny it the right to rule the rest of our lives. Amen. Because he's already overcome everything. He's been tempted in all points like us. Amen. We have a Savior who understands us and yet knew how to conquer the things that faced him. And he showed us how. It was in trusting a loving Father. It was having a relationship with the God that so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever, no matter what label you wear, oh, whosoever covers that label. That whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. In the world, you're going to have tribulations, trials, distress, and frustration. But take courage. Be confident. be certain and be undaunted. You know, when David began to rehearse that he had killed the lion and he had killed the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine would be as one of those. Do you know he didn't wait for Goliath to come to him? He ran. He faced what needed to be faced. But he did it with confidence. And he built himself up by remembering what God had already done for him. This is the power of your testimony. Not just for yourself, but for the people around you. And when I look across the congregation and you know things that people have overcome. I don't know everything you've overcome, but some of you, I know some things that you've overcome. And I think, my goodness, the world needs your story. The world needs your story. I'm going to encourage you to tell it. Rusty and I were having breakfast yesterday morning. And a guy that he had fished with, you know, knew in the fishing world, came by our table. And buddy, from the minute his feet stood outside our booth, he was preaching. Amen. And he was telling us how God had brought him out of the life that he had been living previously. And he said, I'm telling you, if you'll stand still, I'm going to be preaching Jesus to you. And he had witnessed to somebody we know that's not saved. And he was telling us about this guy. And we were like trying to figure out who he was talking about. And when we did, I'm just like, keep going. Keep preaching to him. If he stands still, you preach to him. You put him in your boat. You know, and he was telling us that what he had done previously in his work and how God began to change his heart. He began to be involved in a relationship with God and in the church family and how he had began giving and tithing and how his income tripled. He said, just let me tell you what God can do. Just let me tell you what God can do. Don't tell me what. Don't discourage this guy. Because he is going to encourage himself in the Lord. And he was getting, the more he talked, the bolder he was getting. I was like, all restaurants going to get to hear this story. Because he was wound tight and we just put down our forks and praised with him. Be of good cheer. Because what you're in right now, you can come out of it. Strength, your own knowledge, your own information. You have a God who sees you and who loves you and who is here to help you. Amen. And anything he wants to bring you out of, it's to bring you to what he has for you. Amen. Amen. We often hear, you know, people talk about God brought me out of God. Yeah, but what did he bring you to? Yeah. He brought me out of grief and he brought me into joy. He brought me out of darkness and he brought me into light. He brought me out of insecurities and he crowned me. And he's still working on me. Go with me to Psalm 103. This is really where this message came from. I'd been studying Psalm 103. I kind of gave it to you in the beginning, didn't I? We're not going to read the whole thing, but we'll read several verses. But let me just say, Psalm 103, Psalm 104, just if you need encouragement, just start reading. Because the psalmist saw the beauty of the God we serve. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. I just want to stop there just a minute. That word bless. How do you bless someone? You can give your words. You speak a blessing. When you look it up, it means praise or to kneel before in adoration. Bless the Lord. Sometimes I have to remind my soul to bow and adore the creator of the universe. Sometimes I have to remind my body. This is what you're going to do. You may not feel like worshiping. You may not feel like serving the Lord. You may not feel like, I'll just be honest with you, I didn't feel like getting up here this morning. But soul, you're going to bless the Lord. Whatever that means to worship Him, that's what I'm going to do. And that may take on different forms. But bless the Lord, O my soul. We talked about the soul being the innermost being, the mind, the will, the emotions. And all that is within me, I've got that in bold print in your notes. All that is within me, bless His holy name. That means my thinking, my feeling, my attitudes. Oh, shoot. I meant to leave that one off. My attitudes, everything. Everything, all that is within me, bless His holy name. And I put in parentheses, don't leave your mind behind when you worship. Don't leave your mind behind. I will not leave my mind behind when I worship. If it doesn't involve my mind, it's just a physical act, a ritual. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Oh, that could be a way to bless the Lord if I don't forget His benefits. And see, people think we shouldn't look at the benefits of the Lord. You should look at the benefits of the Lord. You know, when I go, it's been a long time since I've done this, apply for a job. When you go to apply for a job, is it wrong for you to say, what are the benefits? No, because it's part of the package. It's already there. The benefits of God are already there. It's not wrong to ask what they are. You're not asking God to do anything. He's already done it. If you need it, He's got it covered. He's got it provided. We have the finished work of Jesus Christ, with the exception of Him coming to get us back and our bodies being glorified and us, you know, the eternity part. But down here, anything we have need of, the scripture says, would he withhold any good thing? And you can look back at Genesis. What did He leave out? Nothing. He provided and He placed the man in it. The salvation that Jesus Christ provided for you includes the benefits. Do you want to know what they are? Want to look at a hint of them? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Who healeth all thy diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, and who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. You know what? Part of the package. Part of the package. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. This word forget is interesting. It means don't mislay it. Rusty's constantly having to remind me where I have laid my keys and my phone. Because I forget. They're mine. But I mislay them. Usually in the closet on a shelf. I don't know why. It means to be oblivious of. From want of memory or attention. He wants us to give Him attention. He wants us to remember His benefits, not to be oblivious of them from the want of memory or attention. That's better than y'all are acting. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Your guilt, your punishment, your perversion, your sin. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. That's His heart. He doesn't want to forgive you for you to stay for us. I shouldn't say you. He doesn't forgive us for us to stay in guilt, perversion, sin, punishment. He doesn't forgive us for us to stay in it. He forgives us to free us from it. For us to grow in relationship for him. For us to become fruitful instead of sinful. Sin kills. But fruitfulness produces in our lives. And that's what satisfies our soul, Kayla. That's what satisfies us. He redeems, he heals our diseases. He redeems my life from destruction. He crowns me with, see, if you put this personal, put yourself in there. He forgives all my iniquities. He heals all my diseases. He has redeemed my life from destruction. He crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Oppressed. You just picture what that word means, to be oppressed, to be held down, to be held captive in your mind, your body, your by the law, by society, anything that's oppressive. He said that he has executed righteousness and judgment for all that were oppressed. I'm telling you, it's beneficial to serve the Lord. Amen. It's beneficial to remember his benefits. There is nothing wrong with it. In fact, it is encouraging to you. In fact, in Malachi 3, don't panic. Some of you praise the Lord on that passage. Some of you say, oh me, on the passage. But he's talking to them about tithe, and he's bringing them some correction. He says something really powerful. Let's, verse 13, Malachi 3, right before Matthew. Malachi's about this big. Yucca, it's about this big. You have to really search to find Malachi, but it's still an important book. Malachi 3, and we're going to go down to verse 13. God speaking, you have said harsh things against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? You've said it's futile to serve God. Basically, he's saying, you're saying that there's no benefit in serving God. God said, you've said harsh things against me. What have we said? You've said it's futile to serve God. You've said, what did we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? Boy, I love one version I read. I can't remember which one it was. Travis might remember. But it says, you've said that repentance is not valuable anymore. But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly the evildoers prosper, and even those who challenge God escape. You see how their attitude has gone from good God, great God, to serving you is, it's not doing me any good. It's not doing me any good. Why are we doing this? Have you ever asked, why are we doing this? That's what they were doing. Why are we doing this? Why are we doing the things that God said to do? When the arrogant people are being blessed, evildoers are prospering, and those who challenge God are escaping. But listen, then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. So we got all this blah, static. going on in the religious world. All this static, all these things being said, but the ones who feared the Lord, and we did a whole series on the fear of God, right? The fear of the Lord. Those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in God's presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. Whew. I want my name in the book. I want my name in the book. God, I'm not listening to all this mess that's going on in Christianity. I'm not listening to all this mess. I've removed people from Facebook. I'm not listening to the mess. I fear you. I honor you. I respect you. You're the one I'm here to please. And they began to talk to each other. And God was listening. He heard it. And he made a scroll of remembrance written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. And he says, they will be mine, says the Lord Almighty. In the day when I make up my treasured possession, I will spare them, just as in compassion a man spares his son and serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. Don't get caught up in the why are we serving God. You shouldn't think about the benefits of God. You shouldn't ask about the benefits of God. Just God, just you. You're just, yes, he's enough. But in him, God is Jehovah Rapha. Yes. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is Jehovah Shalom. He is your peace. He is your victory, Jehovah Nisi. He is. That's who he is. The benefits come out of his character.
Amen. That's right.
And if you take away the benefits, you're saying that's not in his character. I want him to hear me talking to the person I come across on the street, in the store. I want God to hear me talking about the character that he is and what he wants to do in that person's life. How he wants to bring them out and bring them up. How he wants to bring them into a mindset, a way of thinking that they have never experienced in their life. The freedom they've been looking for that is only found in him. The love that they're looking for that is only found in him. And that they be able to leave the religious lies and the worldly lies and find the truth of who our God is. He is good. Oh, he'll correct me. But you know what? My daddy was good and he corrected me. And not once did my dad threaten to put cancer on me. Not once did he threaten to make me blind or crippled or... Not once did my daddy slap me across the room. If your daddy did, I'm sorry. Because they threw out a wrong picture of God. My daddy would set me down and he would tell me how much he loved me. And then he would tell me, I'm going to ground you till you wonder when freedom's going to come. I'll never forget those words. I mean, I can remember them word per word. But with every word he spoke, I knew he was trying to save my life.
Right. Yes.
It's a great story. I was wanting to date somebody he didn't want me to date. I was young. Y'all got time for a TUM, Tom Underhill story? I was young, and, you know, this older guy liked me. I was around him a lot, church, friends with my brother and all that kind of stuff. Church softball team, all those things. And he wanted to date me, and my daddy said no. And so I managed to see him anyway. Thinking that my spirit-filled daddy wouldn't know. Just want to warn all the teenagers in the house, your parents are born again, spirit-filled. But even when I didn't like what he said, I knew he was saving my life. And there's times that God tells me, you know, when I say God tells me, I know in my knower that God doesn't want me to do something, or he does want me to do something. One time he wanted me to sell this property to these people I didn't like. I've told this story before, but y'all, he did. They approached me. They wanted to buy it. They had a reason for wanting to buy it. It was a great money maker for us. It had two rentals on it. I was like, no. No. They had said some things about my son, and Mama doesn't do that. And so I had preconceived ideas about them, Tucker, because of one experience I had with them. And my son could be a jerk sometimes, and I knew it myself. I mean, he was in his 20s. He was, you know, driving fast cars and making lots of money, and sometimes he thought he was all that in a bag of chips, like to look at his reflection in the microwave or the stove or the refrigerator or any mirror that passed by. You know, God love him. We loved him. He's a great man. Turned out really well. He's even more perfect today than he was then. He's in heaven. But I had a preconceived idea about them because of one moment that I had with them. And God started dealing with me about selling these people that property. You think, oh, that's not a big deal. Sell them the property. Take the money and run. He told me to sell it to them for what I gave for it. We were in litigation over Wade's death. We were believing God for some things to take place in that those years of being in trial, or being in hearings and all the crud. I did what God said. I was obedient. Within weeks, we had a huge, I don't remember if it was the Supreme Court, Arkansas Supreme Court breakthrough, or which breakthrough it was, but within weeks, we had a huge monumental breakthrough in the case. My God, all you were trying to do was get my heart right so you could give me what you wanted to give me. He's a good one.
Yes, he is.
He's a good one. Remember that he's good. Remember that he's good. Remember his hand on your life. And if you don't think there has been a time that someday you're going to look back and you're going to go, oh my goodness, that was God.
Yep. That's right. That is so
but
true.
Right now, if you can't think of one, Jill, just know, good to have you today, just know him sending Jesus to the cross. If that's the only thing you know, he did that for you, for your salvation, for your peace. The punishment I deserved was placed on Jesus Christ. And I don't have to be perfect to receive it. That's the beauty. That's the grace. I don't have to be perfect to receive it. I don't have to be fixed up, cleaned up, perfect. I'm not. But I could be high or drunk up here this morning and accept Jesus. And then what that does is it puts me in a right relationship with the good Father instead of me running from the good Father.
That's right, right, that's right.
And then God can begin to take things and deal with me about things that I need out of my life that he knows are killing me.
Yep, that's the truth.
He knows they're killing me. He knows that the end of that way is destruction. And so the cross. If you don't have anything else, you've got the cross. You got an empty tomb that shows that you've got a Savior who lives and who is willing to live this life with you and walk this walk with you. He won't ignore. One of the worst things you can do as a parent is to ignore your child's transgressions. We've done it. We've done it before. It's like, we're just going to hope this goes away. You know, that's cute when they're 3, but when they're 16, it's not. And you just, God, we don't have a father that ignores. If he deals with me about something, it's because he loves me. I don't know why I'm harping on this one this morning, but that's just the truth. And if you don't see God correctly, then you're not going to know what he's doing. And what he's doing is good.
Amen.
And if you want peace and you want to be able to look at yourself in the mirror and like what you see, do you want to look in the mirror and like what you see? Then you got to let yourself be loved by the Father.
Right.
Just let yourself be loved.
That's right.
Amen. I feel like we need to quit right there. Wes, will you come to the keyboard for me? Father, we just submit. That's not a bad word. That's a good word. You know, Father, I know there's probably those of us in the room who may not have submitted every nook and cranny to you. But Father, we want to start the process. You know, it's one thing to have a scar. It's another thing to have an open wound. A scar, we can touch it, we can talk about it, we can let other people touch it, and it doesn't hurt us anymore, but it happened. But an open wound, we won't let anybody near it, not even you. So Father, we just submit any open wounds to you this morning. And though we may not know you fully, we're learning that you're good. We're learning for ourselves out of your word and not from religion and not from the world who you are. But all I have to do is see Jesus on the cross, see stripes on his back, a crown of thorns upon his head, see him spit on, see him ridiculed, and see him carry that cross for me. See him go into the heart of the earth and take my punishment when he was sinless and I was sinful. And that he did it knowing I wasn't perfect. He did it because he knew I wasn't perfect. And the only way for me to get to you, Father God, was through Jesus. And he is willing.